Tonight's shiur in Parshas Ki Tsetse on the words Veshavisa Shivyo. The rabbis said that we learn from here that there's a hint to the constant battle that we have against our Yetzer Hara, and where we find the Yetzer Hara coming very strong against us is in the Inyanim of Limud Torah, specifically that of Chazara. Rav Dov Yaffa, the Mashgiach of Kfar Chassidim, said that he's heard and brought down the name of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that why is it that we find that people are very lax in Chazara? They might learn, but to go over and over and do Chazarot, people are very weak in Chazara. So he said that it's because the Yetzer Hara knows that Chazar is the key. The key to being successful in learning is to constantly review over and over and over again. And since the Yetzer Hara knows that, it'll do anything and everything to make sure a person doesn't do Chazar. And as a result, that's why, sure enough, we find these days that people are very lax in the area of Chazar. It's not such a well-known story about the Chafetz Chaim. It shows what it means to have the Torah on one's fingertips through Chazara. That there's an elderly Yid, lives in Rehovot, and he was actually in the yeshiva of the Chafetz Chaim. And he recalls the following maisa. He says, one day, this is when the Chafetz Chaim was very, very, very old, about a year before he was Nifter, so it's well into his 90s. And he, after Shacharis, Chafetz Chaim was sitting there in the Beis Medrash, Talos and Tefillin still, and this man, now it was Rehovot was the time, you know, young man, and he sees this Avreich walking up to the Chafetz Chaim, and he said to Chafetz Chaim, can I ask you a question in learning? Chafetz Chaim nodded his head, and he then went to present what he saw was a contradiction, a stira, in two places in Shas, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer. In one place Rabbi Eliezer said one thing, in another place Rabbi Eliezer said something else, and it seems to be a contradiction. So he said over the contradiction, and he says he has an idea of how to answer it, and he wanted to hear what the Chafetz Chaim had to say about this. So Chafetz Chaim looked like he was like half dozing off, you know, and he opens his eyes and he says, can you tell me once again, sorry, what's this contradiction? So he said, yeah, here Rabbi Eliezer says this, and here Rabbi Eliezer says that. So then the Chafetz Chaim looks up at the Avreich and says, sorry to tell you, but it's not a contradiction. He says, why not? He says, because the second source you quoted is not Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Elazar. It's without the Yud. So the Avreich couldn't believe it, so he ran over to the bookshelf, he pulled out the Masechet, he looked it up, and sure enough, Chafetz Chaim was right. It wasn't Rabbi Eliezer, it was Rabbi Elazar. It's not a contradiction, two different people. He saw from here what it means to have the Torah on your fingertips. You remember every little letter, you knew the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar. So another story here, the Chafetz Chaim brings on the Pasuk, Kikvor Tikberenu. So there was once a butcher in the town of Aishashak, and he did something really terrible. What did he do? He had an only son that was drafted to the Russian army, and he didn't want, of course, his son to go, being his only son, whatever, but they had taken him, and he was very, very upset. So he tried whatever he could to get his son out, bribery, whatever it might be, and the authorities in the army said nothing doing. Finally, after he kept trying nonstop, they said, okay. He said, we'll make a deal with you. We'll let your son out only on the condition that you bring in somebody in his place. We have to have the numbers, you bring somebody else, then fine. So what did the butcher do? He headed straight to the Beis Medrash. He grabbed the first bachar he saw there sitting and learning. He grabbed him and yanked him out of the Beis Medrash. And he brought him to the army. He goes, here's a bachar. And he got his son back. So needless to say, the whole city was in an uproar. Terrible thing, how can you do that? As a young man, a bachur was steiging and learning, and he comes along, grabs him, sends him to the army, just terrible. So it caused a big to-do in the town, but as things had it, they had their tsaras in that town. So one thing led to another. Eventually the Indian was forgotten. But the Chafetz Chaim said that I never forgot that. And he said, I'm sure one day Hashem's going to punish him for this. And so he kept his tabs on it, wanted to see what was going to happen. But nothing seemed to happen. A few years went by, 10 years went by, 20 years went by, 30 years went by. No. However, finally, what had happened? One day, the father, this was like many, many years later, tens of years later, he was very getting older, and he used to send his son, who was now around 50 this time, to help him in his business. So he had to, being a butcher, whatever, he sent his son to the market to buy some cows, whatever. He used to do this every now and then. So his son went, and when he was going this time to the market, he went through this swampy land, and a poisonous fly bit him. And as he was traveling, the effects of the poison took hold of him, and he died on the way. He collapsed in some field and through tremendous yisurim. So what made matters worse was, since he was infected with this poison of this fly, nobody wanted to touch his body. Even the Chevra Kedisha, they were scared of, that it's contagious, whatever, they didn't want to get near him. So nobody wanted to bury the poor kid. Well, poor kid was not that kid anymore, but no one to bury him. So the father, with his own hands, he had to do it. He had to take his dead son, and Lolein had to bury him. So the Chafetz Chaim said, "You see, I remembered. I said, okay, Hashem has his way. Sometimes he punches the person quicker, sometimes later. But I knew this is not going to go unanswered." And sure enough, he was punished, mita keneged mita. Right? He himself, he didn't, didn't want to have his son go into the army. He took his son out to protect his son, and in the end, he had to bury his son himself. As a side, they asked the question, but why did the son suffer? I mean, the son was bitten and killed and etc. Well, what did the son do? It was the father. The father should have been punished, not the son. So he says that this was a boy that was in the army. He was in the army. He was not like 2 years old. He was obviously over bar mitzvah. He was already 17, 18, whatever it might be. So meaning he himself was old enough to do something, say something. He should have said to his father, no, you can't do this. You can't. You know, he should have put up a fight and not allow his father to do what he did and switch him with this other boy. So since he didn't, and he accepted what was done, so therefore he also was deserving of punishment. Next, the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen says the Obeitzim. So the mitzvah here with eggs. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, he was a Ravin's, one of the Gedolim, he lived in Switzerland. And his the story about his father is also a big study. And the story in the family goes that one day this chicken makes its way into the courtyard of his father's home and lays an egg, and then runs away, leaves. So they pick up the egg. In those days, eggs were very precious, expensive, a commodity, and fine. So it's, didn't think too much of it, but the next day, again, the same chicken wanders into the yard, lays an egg, and it runs away. So they said, oh, you know, this is somebody lost their chicken. You know, we better get it. We have Mishnah Shabbos Aveda. So they put, you know, the eggs aside, and they went to, you know, to try to catch the chicken, but they couldn't. So the next day, chicken came again, laid an egg, and they tried to catch a chicken, run after it, but it just running away and evaded them. They were not able to grab the chicken. So this continued for a few days, and Rav Soloveitchik said, you know, something's going on over here. This is not, it can't be taken at face value. Like, what's going on? So he thought about it, and he said, you know what? It must be, not must be, but it could be, that this chicken is a gilgul of somebody who owed me money and was nifter. And since he never paid back his debt, he now came back in the world as a chicken, and to pay me back, he's laying these eggs, and then pay me back by these eggs, and that'll be the payment and a loan. He said, it could be. So what did he do? He went into his records and searched through, and sure enough, he found one shtar of somebody who had owed him money, and he knew, he heard that this person was nifter, never paid him. So he says, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this chicken was a gilgal of this guy. So sure enough, what happened? The next day, he said, the chicken came again as usual, but he was ready for him. As soon as the chicken came into the yard, he said to the chicken, listen, he says, if you are a gilgal of Ploni ben Ploni, you know, said his name, he says, then I hareini mochel alachov. He says, I mochel the chov. And he said three times, machulacha, 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 three times. The chicken left and never came back again. They told a story to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he said that it reminded him of also a story that the Chazon Ish was once in a vacation area, whatever. And he used to go out every day to doctor's orders, whatever, take a little walk and get some fresh air or whatever. So every day he would leave the home where we were staying and go for a little walk, come back. So what happened? One day this cat attached itself to him, and as soon as he walked out of the house, this cat, you know, went up to, and followed him along the whole way until he came back all the way and back, and went back in the house. Next day, went out for a walk. Whoop, cat appears, follows him around. So this happened 2 or 3 days in a row. Every time we go out for a walk, the cat would be there. So his family, whatever, the Chazon Ish, said, you know, let's get rid of this cat. It's a nuisance. It's bothering him. I'm sure he wants to, you know, think and learning, and it's, you know, it's bothering him. So they wanted to get rid of the cat, but the Chazon Ish stopped them, and he says that Mistama, there's a Gilgal here. The fact that he's following me around, there's a Gilgal here, and needs a tikkun, therefore it's asur, he said, to get rid of it. It's have to let it be. And which reminded me also of a story that I remember when I was learning in yeshiva. One of the Rebbeim, also, he had a similar maisa, that there was a dog, and not a cat, every time he used to leave his house, his dog would come out of the blue and again, like, attach himself to him, follow him to the yeshiva, and that was it. When he left the yeshiva to go home, boom, his dog appeared again, followed him home, and he couldn't get rid of this dog. Every time he left his house, dog would come. So he had an idea. So one Friday night, the dog followed him home from shul as usual, and the dog, whenever it would, like on Shabbos, would follow him home from shul. When he would go into the home and close his door, the dog would like scratch on the door or whatever. It would come, and this would happen every Shabbos. So the Sraf decided that, okay, next Shabbos he's prepared. They came home Friday night again. The dog was following him, and He closed the door, the dog's scratching the door, whatever. So he got ready to say Kiddush. He filled up the wine, and he told his family, okay, now open up the door. So he opened up the door, and sure enough, the dog is standing there. He gets up and is standing there. And the Tzrav says Kiddush, Friday night, finishes Kiddush, drinks the wine. The dog turns around, leaves, and never came back again. Okay. Next, this is in the pasuk ki pol hanofel, talks about the mitzvah of makah, about falling. So, indirectly brings this story. So there was a family that were very upset. They came to Rav Zilberstein. He said, you know, we have a 16-year-old son, and one day we thought he was healthy, everything's fine. One day he's coming home from school, whatever it was, and he has a seizure. An epileptic seizure, he just like falls down on the sidewalk, whatever, and he starts having a fit, you know, and his limbs are this way, that way, and his tongue's hanging out, the whole thing. And people all gathered around, you know, they didn't know what to do, and a whole group of people, you know, mamash on the side of a busy street. So the parents said, okay, you know, whatever, we'll deal with it. But he said, the problem is we have a daughter who's like in the shiduchim now. And now everybody knows about this because it happened in the middle of the street, so it's a talk of the town. And what are we going to do with our daughter? You know, people are going to, it's going to affect her shidduchi, the, you know, son, the brother like this, whatever. And they're very upset. So they came to Rav Zilberstein. Okay, what can he do? But he decided, you know, he thought of something to give him a little bit of chizuk, at least, the mishpacha. So he said, let me tell you a story. The story is with, again, with the Chafetz Chaim. So when he was a young Bachi, he was like 16. So he had lost his father. Father was a Chashev Talmud Chacham, was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And but he died rather young, and Chafetz Chaim was a boy when he lost his father. So he was learning in yeshiva in Vilna, Chafetz Chaim. And his mother, she had, you know, she needed help supporting, you know, herself, her kids, whatever. So she wanted to get married again. So she found Stama Balabas and from Radin. She ended up moving to Radin and married this man. So this man, her new husband, had a daughter. She was like 26 years old, whatever, and she wasn't married. So when the Chafetz Chaim would come home for vacation, Pesach, whatever it might be, so this her new husband, his stepfather, was very impressed with him, as you can imagine. You know, he's a young man, he's a big established Talmud Chacham already, and he's very impressed. So he had an idea that he wanted to make a shidduch with his daughter, with the Chafetz Chaim. However, a couple of problems. One problem is she was 10 years older than him. She was 26, he was only 16. And he had already been given all kinds of proposals from these, you know, big veering, you know, they promised to support him the rest of his life and learning, whatever. And first of all, she was 10 years older than him, and besides that, they had no money, you know, very little money. So he wasn't so keen on the idea, but he saw or felt that if he's going to say no, it's going to affect the shalom bayis between his mother and his stepfather. You know, he's going to say no, and he's going to be upset. And then it might. So he decided to agree. Marry this woman is 10 years older than him. So he said, okay, fine, they got engaged. And then after the engagement, he went back to yeshiva, you know, to be back in yeshiva in Vilna. So the Bachrim heard what happened. He got engaged to this woman. They said, are you crazy? What are you doing? You're ruining your life. They said, she's besides being 10 years older, but at least if she came from some wealthy home or something, you got all these proposals of these wealthy people. Don't you want to sit and learn? Why do you want to sit and learn your whole life? What's going to be? How are you going to support? You know, how you marry this girl? You're going to have to go out to work and go say goodbye to your learning. And how could you do it? Anyways, they convinced him. You know, he said, you're right. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done this. So he packed his bag and he says, I'm going back home and I'm going to, you know, cancel the shidduch, ask her for mechila, and zo. So he made his way back to Radin, and just after he gets off the train and he's, you know, heading into the city, he knows there's a whole commotion going on there on the street. Like, people gather around, there's a whole commotion. So he's like curious, you know, saying, well, what's going on over here? So he approaches the area. And what's going on? He sees we mentioned before, a man that had a seizure, and he's flying there on the street, and his limbs are moving, flying this way, that way, whatever. And he's filthy, he was in the, you know, fell in all the dirt and the dust, whatever. And his hat flew off, and it's all off, and he's going crazy. And the people are watching. It's also didn't know what to do, how to help the guy. They couldn't get near him because he was going, you know, moving wildly, whatever. And Chafetz Chaim was watching this. So finally, the seizure ended, and you know he came to. And he got up and he, you know, looked around him, and he sees these tens of people standing around looking, staring at him. So you can imagine, the guy turned red as a beet. He was so embarrassed, you know, he's like all dirty and thing, and everybody's staring at him, and he felt terrible. He didn't... Anyway, so, okay, that was the maysa. The Chafetz Chaim, at the time, you know, after we saw this, says, there must be a reason why I saw it. No such thing as a coincidence. If Hashem, you know, made me act dafka, you know, come at this time and see this, there must be a reason behind it. So he said, I was thinking, why did this happen? And I thought, well, look at this guy. how embarrassed he is, right? How so embarrassed of. So he thought to himself, well, what am I about to do? I'm about to embarrass a Bas Yisrael. You know, I'm going to go to this girl that's all excited, got engaged finally or whatever, and I'm going to cancel the, you know, the engagement. It's going to be a big busha for her. Okay, she might be moichel or whatever, but he said, how can I cause a busha to this Bas Yisrael? And he said, he decided at the time, that's it, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to leave it as it is. And he just turned around, he went back to yeshiva. So, as we know, of course, ended up that the shidduch was the best thing for him. Right? He married this woman, and I didn't have money, whatever. He trusted in Hashem, and Eichshu, he stood there. And saw it brought down elsewhere that he saw how it was actually the perfect shidduch. Why? Because she came from a home without money, so she wasn't expecting anything. She didn't need to, you know, have fancy things and get involved with Gashmi. She didn't have, so a simple life she was happy with. That's what she, you know, she was used to. So they lived a simple life. And she supported him, obviously, in his learning. And because of her, he... Chavetz Chaim, Mishneh Berurah, everything was because of this woman. It ended up being Kola Tova. And he pointed out, Rav Zilberstein, when relating the story to these parents, says, now this guy that fell down, you know, had a seizure, you know, he had not a small part in the Mishneh Berurah also. You know, because Chavetz Chaim was going to cancel the thing, and who knows, he married somebody else, who knows what it would have been, right? And he turned around, went back to yeshiva, and stayed with Shem because he saw this guy fall down. So this guy who had a seizure, he created the Chafetz Chaim in an indirect way. So he says, you see, you never know. You never know. You see a terrible thing, had a seizure, but tremendous things came from it. So he says, okay, we don't know, understand, we don't know the ways of the world, how Hashem runs the world, but just told the parents, this gives you, leave him a little chizuk. He said, you know, your son had a seizure, oh, what's going to be, what's going to be? Leave it to Hashem. You know, those things, it seems like a terrible thing. Hashem has his reasons behind it, and you have to have bitachon, everything will work out. Yeah. It brings on the mitzvah or beira of shatnez, lotil b'shatnez. It says one of the most difficult nisyonas a person could have is what the Gemara says. If a person is wearing shatnez, he has to take it off immediately, no matter where he is. He can be in the middle of the street, and he can be wearing clothing that's shatnez. He has to strip and be naked in the middle of the street in front of everybody in order to take off the shatnez immediately. So somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim again, why? How could that be? How can a person pass such a test? This is how can you do that? How can you expect it to strip in the middle of the street? So he answered. He said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He says, "Imagine a guy's in his apartment, and all of a sudden there's a fire breaks out, a huge fire, and the only way to get out, he has to like jump out of the window, whatever. But he has no clothes on, and if he doesn't leave this minute, he's going to be burnt to a crisp. He has to jump out immediately." He says, "Would he jump out without clothes on?" He says, "Yeah." Well, okay, it's not very pleasant to jump out of the window. People see you naked, but it's better than being dead, right? So the person would jump out. It's difficult, but I mean, save your life, you'll do it. Not worth dying for. So he says, that's the same thing over here. We just don't understand the severity of what it means to do an aver. We understood that what it means to wear shatnez, it's an aver, it's worse than getting burnt. Burnt is just physical. This is burning your neshama. And therefore, a person would leave, to go out of a burning building to save his life. So here, to save his spiritual life, he also is expected and should be willing to suffer this embarrassment. It's on the pasuk v'anshu also, about punishment, as there was once a court case in America where there was once a driver. And he was driving in the street, and in front of him was a school bus or something. He was going very, very slowly. He was driving behind it, and he was getting very antsy. He wanted to go, you know, go faster, and this bus was in the way, and he couldn't pass him or whatever. So he was getting very irritated, and he decided to do something which, of course, one should never do. What did he do? He didn't pass him on the left. He passed the bus on the right. What's on the right? The sidewalk. So he went up on the sidewalk and drove on the sidewalk to pass the bus. Of course, a very dangerous thing to do, needless to say. What happened? He didn't realize that there were cameras there, and the police made a roadblock, whatever, and they caught him. Of course, they took away his license right on the spot, and they booked a court date. So after when he came to the court, besides the regular punishments that he was given, fines, the judge decided to come up with a newfangled punishment. What did he do? He made him write a sign, and that's his car is parked outside of his house. The sign, put a big sign hanging up on his car that said something to the effect like, "This is the car of an idiot who drove on the sidewalk." He had to hang this sign on his car. And of course, the neighbors are, there's the car of an idiot who drove on the sidewalk. And, and it's very embarrassing for the guy. And of course, word gets out very quickly. And the media gets involved. Oh, pictures, exciting, newspaper, right? And it's a tremendous busha for this guy. But the judge decided that he deserves the busha for this terrible thing that he did. Fine, that was a court case in America. So Rav Zilberstein was asked, on a Torah, a Shiloh Torah level, would a Beis Din, let's say whatever, be able to, is that a fair thing to give a punishment like this, to embarrass the guy like that? Based on the Torah Shkafa. So without going through the whole pill back and forth, but he came out with in the end that it all depends on what's the purpose of embarrassing the guy like this. He says if it's a punishment for the past, what he did was a terrible thing, we're punishing him, then Pasha just shouldn't embarrass him like that. That's a punishment. But if it's for the future, in other words, that people should learn from him and they're going to find out what he did, and they shouldn't do crazy things like that. In other words, it's a lesson for others for the future. He says, then you brought sources that then there could be an idea of him causing a person embarrassment in order to save other people from doing bad, stop other people from doing bad things. It's a very beautiful story here. So relates to the story of a barber who lived in Bnei Brak. His name was Rav Gavriel Yagudyov, something to that effect. And he had a barber shop in Bnei Brak. So one day, the Gavriel comes into his barbershop to open up, and he sees that he was broken into the night before. He sees everything's upside down, and he notices that his equipment, his expensive equipment that he had, was all taken, all stolen. But that didn't worry him as much as that he had in one of the drawers an envelope, which money he had collected from different people for a poor person who needed to get married, didn't have any money, and he made a collection, and he had thousands of dollars in this envelope, and he was like, oh no. So he runs over to that drawer where he had put this envelope. The drawer was broken into, was opened up, and he runs over to the drawer and he couldn't believe it. The envelope was still sitting there. There was a couple of machines or whatever else in the drawer which were taken, but that envelope was right there, was what's left. So he had a big relief. He gave a big todah, hoda'ah to Hashem, save the money for him. Anyways, what happened? This Rav Gavriel, a few months later, he's in shul. And somebody taps him on the shoulder, turns around, and he sees a religious-looking person, and the person says to him, do you know who I am? You recognize me? Gabriel says, maybe you look a drop familiar, but I don't know who you are. So he says, well, I'm the man who robbed you a few months ago when you got broken into. I'm the Ganav. And I've come to make good, and I want to return, you know, all the money or whatever, the things I stole from you, and return the money that I owe you. So Rav Gavriel was, you know, shocked, like, what's going on over here? Why all of a sudden? So the man explained. He says, you know, after I robbed you, I decided to pay a visit to your barbershop afterwards. He said, I don't know why. Maybe it was a little bit of cruelty on my part. I was to see, you know, see what, how you're feeling, you know, after what happened. Or I don't know exactly why, but I decided to go. It reminded me of a famous saying that a thief always goes back to the scene of the crime. It's a known thing that they, for some reason, when a person does something wrong, he goes back to that place. So sure enough, he did the same thing. So he said, I came back to the barbershop to see what. So I saw there was like a lineup of people, you know, waiting to get their haircut. So I decided just to join in the lineup and to sit down and see what's going on. See, hear what you have to say. And I was listening to you. And you're telling the story of the Geneva to every single person that you're cutting the hair to, you're being the story to. And I was shocked because you had related that you were robbed, but there was this envelope that with all this thousands of dollars in this, you know, for this poor person, for their chasana or whatever. And it was sitting there, and the ganav didn't take it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I couldn't believe it. I mean, how did I not see that? You know, I remember I opened the drawer, and I took the stuff, and it was lying there right in the drawer, and I didn't even take it. And he said, I thought to myself, you know, wow, I can't believe it. What hashkacha pratis, you know, that I didn't take that envelope. I should have taken it. I don't know why I didn't see it. And obviously, Hashem hid it from me. So that's number one. And so that made a very big impression on me. And it came my turn to have a haircut, and you were cutting my hair. You told me the whole story again, like you had told the others. And what also very much impressed me was the fact that you didn't even care so much about the fact that all this money was stolen from you, your machines or whatever. That didn't. All that you cared about was that the money for these poor people was intact. That's what was it, and that made also a big impression on me. Anyways, he said, so after I left the barbershop, I was thinking about pondering the whole situation and thinking about the hashgacha pratis of me not finding the envelope at the time and how you care so much about the people. Anyways, I was thinking about it more and more and more until I decided that's it. I want to be chozer b'tshuva, and here I am. And I decided to return everything and all the money, from things I stole from you. So Gabriel, so he says, wow, he couldn't believe the story. He hugged and he kissed the man. And he says, you know what? He says, I don't want you to give me the money. He says, keep the money. And instead, use the money to make a sudas hoda that you were chozer b'tshuva. That's what I want you to use the money for. We all zoiche ourselves to be chozer b'tshuva now in the month of Elul. And Hashem should bring us to a coming year of health and success. Ben Begashmi has been Baruchi, and Sakhsivik Sima Tomba, Lanu Akho Israel. Amen.